you.
03-70-80.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. Well, the markets have turned negative in a pretty strong way, and you know, I was trying to figure out why. I think I just figured it out. One of the reasons, China court orders Apple to stop selling some of its iPhones. This is probably reigniting concerns in reference to what the trade, U.S. trade tensions with China. And so I don't know if we can say this has got something to do with Huawei and a retaliation with the arrest of CFO of Huawei, one of the leading tech companies, phone builders and phone technology companies in China, maybe. But I think it does it definitely reignites some of the concerns. So China court orders Apple to stop selling some of their phones. So some of their iPhones, they're not going to be able to sell. Now, you know, that is pretty significant. Remember, Apple made a very significant investment into China. They agreed when they went into China that they would do what China tells them to do. They agreed when they went into China that they would give up the rights to certain intellectual properties after, I think, 5 years. So they would have to do all those things. They certainly, I got to give them some credit. They had to be smart enough to realize that if you're going to go into China, you are opening up your intellectual property for theft and counterfeiting, right? Somebody's going to get your stuff in reverse engineering. And when you are producing in China, it's a whole lot easier to reverse engineering when you can see what's going in on the front side of the engineering. So anyway, that's got to have created some jitters, maybe jitters that are just a knee-jerk reaction. That's very possible. And we might see things start to recover a bit from the current lows. I have not been able to find anything as far as the news in that 4 minutes, 5 minutes that we were on break, anything that would indicate another reason. I know that for certain that pessimism is mounting as, you know, all of the data, and I'm talking about market data here, starts to back off its highs. Whenever that happened, and we start to see market cap being lost, pessimism is going to come into the markets. Now I'm talking about the markets. Will that spill over to the economy? Yes, eventually it will if it continues on this path. So eventually what's going to happen is this pessimism will spill over into the broader fundamentals of the economy. It's not going to make the fundamentals bad. The fundamentals are going to be made bad by corporate America now that continues to get concerned over the pessimism that is inside the markets. And so I would say as we continue to see the data from market technicals continuing to turn in a bad way, that I don't care about pessimism of traders. I don't care about pessimism of big institutional traders, buyers, and sellers. I don't care about that. That's irrelevant to me. If they want to be pessimistic, that's fine. They're short-term traders anyway for the most part, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the economy is going to go bad. But when you've got all of media against this economy, there is, you can go to YouTube and search it, there are very prominent people saying, we better hope, one person said, we better hope and pray to God that there's a recession before this next election. In other words, if there isn't, Trump's going to win hands down again. That's the mantra right now. That the mainstream media, they lost the election. Oh, they thought they had it won. It reminds me of Al Gore and Bush. You know, they thought they had it won. Media was going to put Al Gore into the White House. And they were furious. They said it was never going to happen again. Will we be beat? Until Hillary Clinton came along and they got beat again. If you want to know why the hatred is so deep for this president, it's not for the president. It's the hatred that they lost. They didn't get a trophy. They didn't even get a trophy for participating. They got nothing. They lost. Real, just regular, flat out, you won, we lost, let's move on. No, no, no. We don't live in an environment where there's losers, right? But that's what happened. And so they, being the media, has got to pick its enemy. The media's got to pick the battles that they want to fight right now. And right now, the battles that they are picking, I mean, they can't lay off the impeachment, put them in jail kinds of things. They can't lay off of that. I got a solution to that. I could fix that overnight if I were part of the solution there. I know how it gets fixed. But nonetheless, I'll leave you hanging on it. I've said it before. But nonetheless, that could get fixed easily, but they're not talking to me. But look, they've got that. They've got to continue to show their hatred for the president because they don't want to lose their radical left-wing base. They don't want to lose that. But the other battle is that they've got to fight is the business battle. See, they've got to fight this economy. They got to do everything possible to create negativity. It's not, well, we're looking at the Dow right now. It's down 446 points. That's about 1.8%. That's not good. We'll try to get to the bottom of it, but that's what's happening. No, it's, oh, here we go again. We're falling off the cliff. The Dow is down 445 points. This is nothing but trouble, obviously, for the president, for the economy. I mean, it's the way you spin it. So, and that's what we see everywhere we go. I even see it on some so-called conservative media. I mean, they're trying to make this huge story. Now, they can't explain it, so therefore it's not a story, in my opinion. But they're trying to make, you know, they don't want to lose your attention. Maybe you've just turned the channel and you just caught them. They don't want you to go away. I mean, that's what happens. That's what this is all about. Most of it. And I'm telling you, if it continues to go down, it's still going to be about this. It's not going to be about anything else. Because I'll say it again, the fundamentals of this economy are strong, and they're about as strong as they've ever been. The valuations of the market is about as good as it can get. And how is this possible? We've got wages going up with no inflation. Wages going up, no inflation. We have basically no inflation. Wages up. We've got GDP growth, at least as it stands right now, over or around 3.5%. Let me see. Yeah, we just saw that, right, 14 years ago. So we got GDP growth up. We got, you know, no problems with capital. We've got business confidence at all-time record highs. We've got the lowest rate of unemployment than we've had in a long time. First-time unemployment claims are at a 45-year low. I mean, we could go on and on. We're nearing an all-time record high in job vacancies, jobs that are open, looking for someone to fulfill them. It's crazy. All right, 844-707-5533. We've got lines open. I'm going to go to phones. 844-707-5533. We'll be right back.
In November of 1620, the pilgrims came to America with the hope of building a civilization that would one day be a shining city on a hill. At the American Family Association, we believe that dream is still worth fighting for. We believe that marriage was instituted by God, that families are worth preserving, and that every human life is worth protecting. We are the American Family Association. Who can find a virtuous wife? She's worth far more than rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. She brings him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still night and provides food for her family. She extends her hand to the poor. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised.
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
The markets are doing. What we care about is what the economy is doing and what the underlying fundamentals of the economy are going. For 8 years, I remember hearing, well, you know, the underlying fundamentals of the economy are solid. And nobody ever mentioned what they were that were solid, because they weren't. They are now. They're about as solid as they've been. And are there some signs that there could be concerns about some of them? Maybe. But for the most part, we have solid fundamentals of the economy. Solid fundamentals of the economy. And that's because, primarily, because of this president. Because of the promises that have been kept and the things that this president has done. Make no mistake about it. So one of the things that I wanted to do here was to, before the end of the year, as we think about those things that I just mentioned, talk to one of the best conservative economist out there, a distinguished visiting fellow with the Heritage Foundation, Steve Moore. Steve Moore was on the program before when he was an advisor as part of the Economic Council for President Trump. He has written an incredible book called Trumponomics. And you need today to go to Amazon.com or wherever you buy your books, and you need to buy Trumponomics. You're going to love reading this. If you follow this program, if you're listening to me for 3 hours every day, this is a read you're going to really, really enjoy, and I hope that you will do that. It's called Trumponomics. Steve Moore and Art Laffer, still a part of the President's advisory, Economic Advisory Council. Steve, welcome.
Hi. Great to be with you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you, Steve. I sure appreciate you being here with us, and love the book. It was a great book. It outlined in such great detail what this president's goals were from the very beginning. And I love the way you went back and you guys talked about what this president was doing from the very beginning. He didn't just take a bunch of conventional Republican ideas and merge them with some of his own and some Democratic ideas. This was somebody that was thinking about America first, obviously, and was rejecting this whole notion of globalism, wasn't he?
I think that's right. I mean, this is a president who basically said, we're going to put American workers first, we're going to put American businesses first, we're going to grow the economy as rapidly as we can, we're not going to allow, you know, other politicians to enact regulations or taxes or edicts that somehow will, deter us from making America a more productive place. And, you know, I saw the president a couple weeks ago, and we were just chatting, right before Christmas, and I just said, you know, this is working better than even I thought it would when we drew the plan up. I worked with Larry Kudlow, and as you know, Larry's the chief economist for Donald Trump now, and what a great asset he is to the president. And then our Laffer, who's the famous economist who obviously spearheaded the Reagan, economic recovery plan, and then worked with us with Trump, and it's been quite a ride. I mean, you know, notwithstanding the fall in the stock market over the last few months, which is really mostly attributable to the Fed and its catastrophically bad decisions, but if you look at the real economy, you look at what's happened with the growth rate. We're growing at 3 to 3.5% now. That's up from 1.5% under Obama. We're growing. We have more jobs than 7 million more jobs. Did you know that? Than people to fill them now. 7 million. We've got the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. We've got wages up. Consumer spending was great this Christmas season. I'm almost confounded by the stock market correction because the economy is doing so well. I've been in this game a long time, for 30 years. I can't remember a time when the economy was headed so firmly in one direction, the stock market was headed so much in the other direction.
Yeah, I can't either, Steve. You know, I was from the time I was on Wall Street till now, for 35 years in this and seeing this. I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, I've got to attribute so much of it to the absolute venom and hatred that the media has created so that have worked so hard to create negativity in everything. But the fact of the matter is the fundamentals of this economy.
As you may know, I'm a contributor now with CNN, so I'm with fake news now. And, you know, so let's see, like the last week they've had me on almost every night to talk about the stock market because it fell. We were supposed to do the show last night, but then it was up to like 1,200 points, and they called, no, never mind, we don't want to talk about the economy. I'm not just saying that about CNN. It's true of all the networks, same thing. They only want to talk about the economy when it's not good, and that's not very often because the economy's been so good under Trump. I mean, this is a true economic boom we're in, and I don't think, you know, even when the good news, if you notice this, when a good story comes out about, you know, the, you know, blockbuster jobs numbers or the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years or, you know, the fact that we've got growth twice as high as it was under Obama, you know, as this news comes out, they'll say, well, you know, there's good news on the economy, but economists say it can't last or something like that. There's always a negative story attached with the positive story.
Yeah. What economists? And who and how do those economists lean? You know.
Yeah, what economists?
And
exactly.
Of course, you know.
I'll tell you what economists say.
Right.
They're the same economists who say Trump couldn't get us to 4%, 3 to 4% growth in the first place. Those, now that he's gotten us there, they say, well, it can't last. Well, you said it. These are the economists that if Trump was elected, we'd go into it. You know, people are going to, if you like Trump and what he's done and you want to really understand how he did it, this is not really an economics book. It's a book about, you know, how Trump thinks and how he put this plan in place and how we got it through Congress. And it was, you know, I've had the time of my life, I have to say, working with Donald Trump. The guy is so dedicated to helping American workers and American businesses. I mean, he's one of these people, you know, you just cut him and he bleeds red, white, and blue. And he'd always say, you know, this is not for the rich people. He said, I know a lot of rich people. They can take care of themselves. This is for working-class Americans who hadn't had a pay raise in 20 years. And I don't know if you saw the latest jobs report, but it showed, you know, wages are up faster than any time in something like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and, you know, when you read the book, you what you're reading are things that are so logical and easy to understand. The deregulation, the tax reform, this, you know, the rejecting of the globalist mentality. And when you look at, these are all things that he articulated to his base better than anybody could ever. And not only that, he's kept all the promises. He's done those things, and we're seeing,
you know,
the fruit of it.
I remember during the campaign, people said, you know, it can't possibly work. The guys are crazy. The lunatic, he can't win. You know, Larry Kudlow and I were very savagely attacked by some of our conservative friends saying, why are you getting behind, you know, Donald Trump? I think we helped give Trump some credibility with conservatives when we announced that we were for him. And, you know, people to this day say, well, why weren't you for, you know, Ted Cruz or, you know, Jeb Bush or, you know, Marco Rubio or, you know, and I like all these people. They're all good people. I said, you know, the reason I went in the first meeting with Trump, the first chapter of the book is called Meeting Trump, and I describe our meeting with Trump, Larry Kudlow, and I, we spent about an hour with him, and I just walked out of that room with stars in my eyes. I said, this guy's a winner. He has the look and feel and sound of a winner. And, that was one of the better calls that I've made in my life.
Yeah. You know, I took so much heat. You know, I'm on 570 stations, a vast majority of them Christian conservative talk stations. And, you know, I had stations that dropped to me because I was an avid supporter of Mike Huckabee. When he pulled out of the race, I got so much criticism because I didn't throw my support to Ted Cruz. Well, Donald Trump was the only one in the pack that was going to beat Hillary Clinton. And he's the only one that had a logical approach to this. I have nothing against Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz. I like a lot of those candidates that were up there. But Donald Trump is the guy that was going to take us actually where we are today has done that.
I felt the same way. And, you know, we talk about that in the book, that he had the plan. He had the backing. I mean, what really turned me on to Trump also was going to a few of his rallies, and you know, whether it was in Pennsylvania or West Virginia or Ohio or Michigan or Colorado, and I was so impressed with the people. You know, these weren't conventional Republicans. These were working-class people, the old Reagan Democrats, were, you know, a lot of them union workers who just felt like both parties had abandoned them. And Trump really gave them hope, and he's delivered for them too. That's the one thing about Trump. People always ask me in the media, why is, you know, Trump doing this or that? You know, why is he pulling us out of the, you know, Paris Climate Accord? Why is he, you know, renegotiating NAFTA? Why is he building the wall? Because he said he was going to do it. You know, I mean, this is one of the first politicians I've met in my lifetime who actually does what he says, and he keeps his promises.
And, you know, that's been amazing. And that's exactly what separates him from everybody else. And the other thing is, you know, I said to even some of the Republican senators and congressmen that I had on the program that were against Trump, I said, you know, one of the things that I know aggravates Washington is you've got a New York City billionaire that can relate better to the middle class, the heartbeat of America, than anybody in Washington can. And I think it drove him crazy. I think it drove them crazy, and they didn't understand it. They didn't even know how to comprehend that. And your book talks about that. I love that first chapter. And the book talks about the kinds of things that make so much sense to so many people.
Well, I mean, first of all, we knew we had the highest, you know, we showed Trump, you know, the data that we had the highest taxes in our businesses in the world. And we said, and he got this instantly, that, you know, when you have, you know, you're putting your businesses at a competitive disadvantage, and he got that, and he knew about regulation. My gosh, the guy's a builder, a real estate man. He understood the impact of regulation on our economy, I guarantee you.
He did. And, you know, I would just say again to everybody out there, Steve Moore, Trumponomics, pick it up at any bookstore. Go to Amazon, order it today. It is an amazing book, and you're going to love reading this book. It's going to give you such an insight, almost an insider view to the mind and mentality of President Trump and why we have the economy that we have. And I can't think of two better people to give us that viewpoint than Art Laffer and Steve Moore. And it is an amazing book, Trumponomics, and you can get it in Amazon or any other bookstore. Order it today. You've got to read it. pass it along to anybody for a gift. Steve, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We sure do appreciate
it. Well, thank you. I've always enjoyed your show. And, you know, I want to mention that, you know, this economy, we're not done. We're not done here. I mean, all this ridiculous talk about recession, that's ridiculous. This economy is just getting going. Isn't that a...
Hugs at the arrival gate. Seeing your best bud for the first time in a long time. Family and friends around the table. At Lincoln, we know the holidays are filled with moments like these. When we realize that the greatest wish of all is one that brings us together. In that spirit, we invite you into our home during the Lincoln Wishlist event. But not coincidentally, we're making wishes come true with exceptional offers on the Lincoln family of luxury vehicles. The Lincoln Continental, the MKZ, the MKC, the new Nautilus, and the iconic Navigator. The Lincoln Wishlist event. Because wishes really do come true at your Lincoln dealer.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
8840.
Consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. The prospectus is available from the fund or your financial professional that contains this and other more complete important information. Please read it carefully before investing or sending money. Distributed by Timothy Partners Limited. Member FINRA.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go to phones. Let me go to Anita. Anita's calling us from Montana. Hi, Anita.
Oh, hi, Dan. Thank you for taking my call. I sure appreciate all your insight. And I've been a partner for about 2 years. And I listen every morning, but I may have missed some insight on IT-42. It's one of the few that's down significantly. Would it be a time to dollar cost average down on that? Okay. Because it's not on your buy list, so I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with it. But I would like to dollar cost average down if it's still good enough for that.
Yeah, it's a good question. It is, but here's what I'm waiting for. I would wait until I'm going to suspect that if it goes up, we're looking for 30 to 40 days of it ending up in positive territory. In other words, we want the trajectory to change from moving down to moving up. I would say we're very close to that now. It is still down. It's still moving down. It continues to move down. But I think we're close to starting to see a turnaround. Unfortunately, the trade news has hurt that a little bit. But let me just give you some perspective. Hurt them a little bit. Let me just give you some perspective. This is a company from, first of all, from a volatility perspective, it really has, I know it's hard to believe for you and I right now, but this has a very good track record from a volatility perspective and tends not to be real wild from a volatility perspective. As you know, the technology stocks in general have gotten just beat up all year long. They have the highest what we call free cash flow that they've ever had in the history of the company. It is huge. It's a huge number of free cash flow, meaning that they are financially extremely sound. They have very little debt. And I won't say this for certain, but I wouldn't be surprised if sometime early next year they raise their dividend even higher. Right now, their dividend is around is 50 cents a share. It's been 50 cents a share since spring of 2015, and it's never moved. Now, 50 cents a share equates to about 4.5% return a year right now based on the current stock price. But the point I'm making is that it's an extremely consistent dividend payer. And before it was 50, it was 40 cents, and it was 40 cents for a very long time. So we're getting paid to wait for it to go up. It's at, I'm not going to say it's great valuation, but it's good valuation right now. And it's still a, you know, it's a $19 billion company. It's a mid-cap tech company. I feel really good about the future of the company. But I want to hedge a little bit and say, yes, I am going to dollar cost average. We should hear dollar cost average. But if I wait until the trajectory turns a little bit more positive, then it's still going to be a good time to dollar cost average because it's likely still going to be below our cost unless something happens that just shoots up like a rocket, which I don't anticipate. So, I wouldn't have a problem with you dollar cost averaging it here. I'm trying to find it here. Okay, so it's just, actually, it closed. Oh, no, it didn't. I'm sorry. It was almost at a 52-week low on Tuesday. We'll see what happens today when the market opens. But I like this stock. I want you to just hang in there and be patient. It's going to be a good stock for you in the future. And, yes, I want you to dollar cost average. I'd just like to see a little bit of a turnabout in a positive way before we start.
Thank you so much. That's exactly what I want to hear. Oh, very
good. Good. Yeah, good.
I appreciate it.
All right. Well, and we're talking for, thank you, Anita. Great, thank you. I appreciate the call. For everybody listening, we were talking about IT42, and I know I would imagine a lot of people own that, and that's the stock we were talking about, IT42, if you're wondering, if you're a partner. Somebody, you know, I just want to mention, we're a little... we're off to a really slow start, which is kind of odd for the month of December. Even when we're not having a campaign and we're trying to raise money, which we've only done twice in 21 years, even when we're not, the month of December is always a good year. As a matter of fact, last December, the best month we ever had was October of last year. The second best month was December of last year. I'm not sure what was up with October last year, but nonetheless, it was a great month from a donor and a giving perspective. And so, you know, the end of the year, people is always, December is always a good month. And I'm just asking you if you would make December a good month for us this year in particular. And if you can't, I understand. But you know one way you could make it a good month if you can't from a financial perspective? You could really make a commitment to pray for this ministry. We've got a lot of things going on, a lot of stresses and concerns. I see markets like this week. I lose sleep over, I can't afford to lose sleep, but I lose sleep over markets like we have right now. I want you to pray if you can't give, but certainly if the Lord might lead, and maybe you pray if you should, and if that's something that the Lord might want you to do, and consider giving to the ministry this Christmas, this year end, we sure would appreciate it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Presad from Florida. I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize. Tell me how you pronounce your name.
Presad.
Presad?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes, Presad.
Hey, Dan. I have a quick question. I have been listening to you for some time, and I feel to be a partner. Just wanted to know, I'm not a practicing mm-hmm. Christian or affiliated to any of the Christian organizations. So can I be a partner?
Absolutely, you can be a partner. We would welcome you. We'd love you to be a partner. You know, we want everybody to benefit from our perspective on our analytics. We hope you will. And if you're not, and we have many, many people that... We have people that practice Islam. We have practicing Muslims. We have practicing Hindus. I know three. We have Jewish people. We have Christians. We have non-Christians, atheists, agnostics, and certainly we would welcome you as a partner. And you understand, you've been listening for a while, you understand, of course, that we come from the perspective in which I come from in how I do my analytical work. So everything, you know, that I look at, obviously I look at it from the perspective of my God's word and the word that he has written, and we don't want to offend that. So we come from a moral and a values perspective that appeals, I think, to a lot of people. So absolutely, we hope you'll become a partner, and we hope you begin learning, and we hope you'll keep listening.
Sure, Dan. Thank you. I'll sign up online.
You're welcome. We sure do appreciate your call. Thank you for that. Great stuff, and I'm glad Prasad asked that. And look, you know, we believe everybody is a child of God. Maybe they're not a practicing child of God yet. Maybe they will be, but we sure hope so. But we don't... You know, the people like Prasad, who asked that question, are people that obviously are interested in moral investing and morality. We have one man that I spoke to some time ago who practices Islam. He's a Muslim of Muslim faith. He said, you know, we are against abortion. We're against gambling, alcohol, drinking, all those things. And, you know, I'd want to be a partner. So we welcome everybody and sure do appreciate it. 844-707-5533. 844-707-5533. One thing I will say, we don't welcome everybody. for $85. We're not doing it for $85. And you all know that. I mean, look, we if I were charging, $300, $400 a month, like some of my friends do, then, yeah, we probably really welcome everybody. We're not welcoming anybody for $85. We want everybody to get better, get smarter, and understand what we're doing. And we want them to gravitate to the values that we hold as well, if that's...
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times, that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to
take care of his body. To eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
Being a business owner or entrepreneur can feel lonely. Unless your friends have walked the same path, they just don't understand your passion. How many times have you been asked, when are you going to get a real job? And when you finally do make it big, all of a sudden the doubters tell you they always knew you would. Does this sound familiar? You see, at BizBot, we understand the road you're on because we're on the same path. That's why we created a club just for you. Meet other people on the same path you're on and get content that will help you grow your business, all for only $49.95 a year. And if you join today, you can get your first 30 days free with promo code RADIO. This is a limited time offer, so try it for free, and who knows, you might be able to help other members. Simply go to bizbod.com and enter promo code RADIO.
46231.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Folks, I sure hope that, and tomorrow we're going to do a rapid fire Wednesday tomorrow, so make sure you check in with us. Richard from Massachusetts called in, is asking about my thoughts on closed-end funds. It really depends on the fund. First of all, they're not biblical, not because they're closed-end, but most of the mutual fund companies, like all of them, that have closed-end funds are not biblically responsible, so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to them. But I will say this. A closed-end fund doesn't make it bad. A closed-end fund is closed to new investments, so you have to already own the fund to be in it to buy more of the fund if it's closed-end. It's closed-end because they're not taking any new investors. I like the idea of closed-end funds. It keeps funds from getting too large. So the idea is that they're manageable from the staff of investment managers they might have managing that fund. It makes it a little bit more manageable. So there's nothing wrong with closed-end funds. A closed-end fund isn't any different than an open-end mutual fund. So I don't have any problem with that. They're just closing it because they don't want it to get too big. That's usually the reason. Sometimes they're broadcast or sold as closed-end funds, being attractive in the sense that, hey, we are opening a new fund. It's a closed-end fund. It's going to be a closed-end fund. We are opening it up to new investors for a period of 2 years, whatever it might be, or a year, or until it gets to a certain level, and then we are going to close it, and you are going to get far better service and more and greater opportunity from an investment perspective, because it's going to be very manageable for us. We're going to easily be able to manage this fund. So That's the idea of it, and that's what the thought process is. So, that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with them. They are, you know, they are fine. So I wouldn't be concerned about getting in, except that you can't get in unless you already own it, which I assume is the case. Jeff on YouTube is asking me about, is this a good time to get into a particular stock? I don't know the initials of it, so I won't give the name of it. But I would not. Now I'd wait it out till the end of the year. I want to see this stock start to tick up a little bit. If it doesn't, a little bit more. If it doesn't by January 15th, I'd be surprised. I think it might, but I don't know that I'd want to be getting in right here. If you own it and you want a dollar cost average down, I would be fine with that. Let's see, what else? George from Texas, should there be an option when we file our taxes to donate $10 or $50 or others to the wall of the national debt? Should there be? I guess he's asking, that would be a great way to help the debt situation. Everybody donate so much money to it. I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, it's a good idea. You know what's scary? That politicians can raise $1 billion to run for office. I wonder if we could raise $1 billion to pay our national debt. Here's the problem, one of the biggest problems, too, with the national debt. I'll give you a prime example. I remember John Boehner. Remember him? Speaker of the House. If you listen to me, you remember him, because I was not a fan of his. And I made it well known. But John Boehner once said, oh, everybody's screaming about Planned Parenthood. It's $350 million. It's nothing. It's not even worth talking about. John Boehner, of course, helping people invest in marijuana now. I mean, it's just give you an idea where John Boehner is. But, you know, that's the attitude about everything in Washington. Oh, it's only $1 billion. It's only a $500 million. What are we worried about that for? That's not going to help. They have no concept that it takes a lot of crumbs to make a loaf. See, when Ronald Reagan came into office and said, all right, we're cutting everybody's budget with the exception of the Department of Defense, everybody's got to cut their budget. If President Trump did that, said everybody, and he's talked about it, if everybody cuts their budget, we're going to cut the national debt, and we're going to cut the size of government. And people went to him and said, you know what, Mr. President? If I cut that 5% out of my budget, do you know that that 5% is only $100 million? I mean, $100 million, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, it's not going to help anything. No, it's your 100 with their 100 with their 100 and their 100, and then this 100 over here, and now we got a $500 million. And when we get enough $500 million, it's going to have an impact. And we take that 100 that now we've cut out. I'm making a number up, but now we've cut out 750. $300 billion, close to $500 trillion, and $500 trillion. Now we're cutting out $500 billion out of our budgets, and you take that out over 10 years, that's $5 trillion coming right off the top of our debt. $5 trillion. That's an enormous amount of money. Wait a minute, I got something better for you. You take that $5 trillion that we cut out, and you and now you subtract 5% interest that we would be paying to service that debt, that $5 trillion, you just cut out another $0.75 trillion, because that's interest we don't have to pay on that $5 trillion because we cut it out. I mean, think about it. And you times that times 10 years. In 10 years, you could really do something. Now, here's the kicker. You can't cut it out of the government here and spend it in the government over here. Therein lies the problem with politicians. See, if every politician were a businessman, they would understand that when you cut a half a billion, it's not a cut at all if you're spending $0.75 trillion over here. They would understand that. But they're politicians. Here's what they understand. If I cut a half a billion dollars, that's going to get me votes, and nobody's going to know that I've spent the half a billion over here. That's kind of how it goes. So, you know, I don't want to say our deficit is something easy to fix. It's not easy, because it can't be done without some pain. But is anybody willing? And therein lies the problem. Well, why don't the politicians do this? Because they don't have the will to do it. They owe their job to special interest groups and lobbyists. They owe their financial future, how much money they can amass while they're in office, to the lobbyists. They don't care about you. They don't care about America. They care about themselves. That sounds harsh. And I don't mean to generalize every single politician, but I have no choice. But that's how it goes. I've often said, tell me one thing that some of the committees in Congress have done for the people they serve. You'll be hard-pressed to find something. Oh, they talk about it, and they talk about all the things that that committee needs to do, and they talk about it before they run for election in 2 years, and then they'll talk about it again 2 years later. It's what they do. And they're going to continue to do it. It's why we have such problems. In the meantime, and I've got to tell you, I am not even half as concerned about our national debt as I am concerned about our corporate debt. Because it's our corporate debt that is going to push us to a place that the national debt now is going to be of extreme significance and an extreme critical place for our economy and for our government to be. But it is the next financial crisis that could come along. Has anybody heard or read or saw anything at all this morning about Deutsche Bank and the debt that they have and what's happening to their stock price? Do you all remember a year ago me talking about Deutsche Bank and what a huge problem it's going to be for the global economies? Just saying. None of these things happen are new. They're just resurfacing until they get ignored again. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful day.
on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk, online at biztalkradio.com.